Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Jonathan Brule, and this morning's conversation is with Robert Shea, Associate Director for Management at OMB. Also joining us in our conversation is John Kamensky, Senior Fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Robert, with the forthcoming fiscal year 2008 budget, which is going to be released in February of 2007, the administration is going to release the results of the fifth round of the PART assessments, completing 100% of programs and dollars. What are the plans for PART next year? And does OMB plan to go back and re-PART specific programs? Are you going to go look at programs that got low scores? Or are you going to take a look at programs in various cross-cutting areas?
I hope we're going to do all of those things. Having assessed virtually 100% of the federal budget, have improvement plans for most programs. Everybody has identified steps that they're going to take to improve the programs they manage. So we need to track those. We need to ensure that people are being as aggressive as they can in implementing those improvement plans. So that's the first thing we'll do, make sure everybody's doing what they said they would do to improve their programs. Programs that have done enough to warrant a reassessment will get reassessed, and hopefully their ratings will improve. But then we'll have to identify improvements that the programs will have to take again to improve even more. So this is a continuing cycle of improvement that we can engage in now with the PART. Now, as you say, having assessed 100% of the programs, what's the opportunity for looking across cutting areas? I think the highest value use of the program assessment rating tool is in getting like programs together, programs with similar missions, and collaborate on better ways to jointly improve their performance. We've done this in myriad areas. In grant programs, for instance, we've come up with a common strategy that programs can use to share information about specific funded activities that are more effective than others, so that we can scale those up. We have collaborated this past year with programs aimed at improving achievement in math and science among America's youth. And you find a real lack of clarity about the goals of those programs. We've fixed that. And now we're going to get more and more evidence about which math and science programs are most effective so that we can share those lessons with the hundreds of other programs that are aimed at improving math and science achievement. That's the real potential for the future of the PART. I intend to drive its use for collaboration among like programs.
The president recently signed into law a new piece of legislation, the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act. What does this legislation envision? And can you tell us something about the role of the blogger community in the passage of this new act?
That was something to behold. This was a piece of legislation which had a very noble purpose, but which I didn't give very high odds of passage because I knew the opposition among many in Congress was great. What it does is requires us to post on a regularly updated basis those federal expenditures in grants and contracts and loans, etc., to organizations other than to individuals, and to post that in a searchable, easily accessible format on the internet. And we are going to implement that act as the authors of that act intend it to be created. We will collaborate with them in the development and planning of that website. Now, one of the forces that helped this bill get enacted was the blogger community on the internet. They were passionate, both on the left and the right, for this legislation because they saw it as a way to improve accountability of government for taxpayer spending. And they got wind of efforts to defeat it and shined the bright light of the internet on those activities and overcame them by sheer force, got very powerful members of Congress to relent and, in the end, support passage and enactment of this legislation.
And this has been, you know, a fascinating phenomenon that this has happened. question then becomes, is there the ability to leverage this kind of change in the culture of Washington and no ways to focus attention on management issues that might otherwise not have been paid attention to?
I think one of the one of our watchwords in implementing the president's management agenda has been transparency. We grade agencies every quarter, post their grades on the internet. We also assess programs and post all of the evidence on which those assessments are based in an easily accessible website, searchable and understandable by the American public. The reason we do that is because we think we're on the side of right. We think what we're doing is the best way to achieve our goals. And if others disagree with us, we want to know that. If they have a better way to achieve the goals, we want to know that. Because no one wants to achieve our mutual goals more than we do. So I think the blogger community, just like any other media outlet, is a great way to both communicate and collaborate on our plans to achieve goals. So we have a new vessel for communicating our plans. I anticipate that the feedback we get might be a little bit more aggressive than we're used to, but bring it on. We want feedback so that people can buy into what we're doing.
And are you going to have some plan for leveraging this?
Well, I think that's it. I think regularly communicating with the folks who are involved in that website, not only on the implementation of the plans to comply with the Act, but also in the implementation of the President's Management Agenda overall.
Separately, how significant is the proposed Program Assessment and Results Act, which is a proposal in Congress, to the continued and future success of the government management reform efforts?
Well, I think one of the questions the Program Assessment Rating Tool asks is whether a program's statutory design adequately helps it achieve its goal or whether it's flawed in some way. If it's flawed, generally suggests that we try to remedy that flaw in statute. So there are a number of statutory reforms that have been proposed as the result of the part highlighting a flaw. We've not been that successful in getting those reforms enacted. So in the future, there's a great opportunity for improvement. And when you see like programs that suffer from generally the same flaws, you can accelerate the performance of those programs by perhaps reforming them all at the same time. Reauthorization, as we've talked about, is an opportunity to tee up those reforms for agencies and the Congress and the President as well.
Let me turn the conversation back to OMB for a moment. OMB has a reputation for being a very demanding and stressful place to work. And yet, to the surprise of many, it achieved the number one ranking in the Partnership for Public Service's Best Places to Work in the federal government survey. What are some of the benefits of working in such an environment? And in particular, what advice would you give to a person considering a career in the public service or possibly even being interested in joining OMB?
OMB is a very demanding place to work, just like any federal job. We are doing a better job at telework, so I'm able to spend more time with my beautiful wife and charming three girls. But it's still tough. The hours are long, and there's no downturn in the workload throughout the year. There's always something going through OMB. When every policy matter, legislative matter, budget matter, management matter, regulatory matter comes through OMB, there's just no let up in the workload. But that's also why it's an attractive place to work, that the work we're doing will have an impact on the performance and management of the federal government and therefore the lives of the American people. You can have a real impact on mission at any job at OMB, and that is an incredible reward. There's a challenge of staying the best place to work because while our employees are the most talented, there's a limit. You've got to have a reasonable workload, family balance. And so that's a continuing challenge that we have to confront. But the advice I'd give to people who are considering a job at OMB is to come. If you're talented and have an interest in public service, serving the American people, OMB is the most exciting place to be because it's where I think you can have the greatest impact. I would recommend you visit www.omb.gov for more information about not only OMB in general, but opportunities to come work there.
Robert, that's great advice. We've reached the end of our time, and that will have to be the last question. I want to thank you for fitting this into your very busy schedule today. And more importantly, John and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, John. This has been fun. And for those listening, if you want to get more information about the President's management agenda, I invite you to visit www.results.gov, where we update regularly the status of the scorecard and other President's management agenda initiatives. And not to sound like a broken record, but for more information about program performance and management and our assessments in general, visit www.expectmore.gov.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Robert Shea, Associate Director for Management at the Office of Management and Budget. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed forces and civil service abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Jonathan Brule. Thank you for listening.